Hey, Potters. Welcome to episode 247 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome to the freezer that is Texas. Yay. Literally the freezer, because we are, in fact, below freezing right now. Again.
It's better than it was last year.
That is true. There was serious anxiety after last year's really bad winter storm. This one just had a lot of wind and a boatload of ice.
So much ice. It's funny listening to it as it was starting to warm up a little bit. It's supposed to get cold again, so it's like well below freezing tonight. But just hearing all of the icicle drips from the rooftops, I was like, oh good. It's happening all over again.
This is the kind of weather I wanted to have around Christmas time.
Oh.
Not around now.
I did not move here for this crap. No, thank you. It can go back. I don't want to.
See, I was a little bit frustrated getting into cosplay updates because I actually just finished playing another concert series. I got the chance to perform again, so Amber is very happy at being able to play music again with the symphony. And then after that, I wanted to get some cosplay work done because I wanted to pull out, you know, my Athena cosplay or pull out the staff that goes with that cosplay so that I could go outside and finish spray painting it. And then they announced we're going to have a winter storm.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, well, we're just going to get, you know, maybe a little bit of sleet. Maybe a little bit of snow. And then we ended up getting 5 inches of precipitation. My patio is literally covered in sleet and snow. And the patio cover that I so lovingly put up froze like a sheet of sugar glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then shattered.
Yep.
I hope that once everything melts, that the structure of the patio screen is still intact, that the threads didn't like literally snap, like the tree that's literally outside my window. I have no cover now anymore. The tree that normally provides me cover from the wind whenever I'm spray painting and such, that's now gone. The ice actually cracked it in both places and it fell over. So I may have to rig something else for my spray painting escapades, since now I will have no protection from the wind. Sad day for me. So,
you can rebuild it. You can make it better.
Well, I'm going to have to end up building a little booth, kind of like Vulpin has, where it's basically a little box that has a filter or a fan on the back to whisk all the fumes away, because if you've never used rattle can spray paint, it smells like an MFR. But I'm going to have to build something like that, like a covered booth that I can spray paint into and then have the fumes evacuate so that I can spray paint outside still. Because I am not doing that stuff inside.
Hell no. Please don't do that.
No, that stuff is very pungent and your neighbors will also hate you for it. So once everything on my patio melts and goes away, then I can go outside and work again. Unfortunately, that will not be until Sunday at the earliest. Because it's supposed to get just above freezing tomorrow. It's supposed to be 39 degrees, and then the temperature
drops.
Dips right back down to 15.
Yeah.
So everything that melts tomorrow is going to refreeze again.
We're steadily getting the ice out of the way. It's just taking its sweet time. Maybe by Monday.
It's in cycles.
This is pretty normal February for us, though, where it just kind of goes up, down, up, down, up, down, and we might get some freeze, we may not get some freeze. Yeah. It's
the winter storm is not normal, but the temperature flux is definitely normal.
Super normal for this.
Yeah, so I'll probably have to take up some sewing indoors. I know that even with the heater on, my fingers are still feeling very stiff because of the cold.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully next week, once that gets a little bit more normal for temperatures, then I can start working on some sewing, since I won't be able to work outside for a little bit.
Is what
That's
it is.
Okay. Yeah. It may just be that Mother Nature determined that we need a 2-week break from working on cosplay. And that's fine. Your turn.
All right. Well, I actually have things that I can share. I have many, many things to share. I'm actually going to go over to my Instagram page because it's the easiest way of showing you, because I don't have space behind me to properly showcase this big thing. So my dress for my cosplay is officially done. Yay. Zipper has been installed. Yay. I'm very proud.
Yay.
I actually found a tutorial for a different way of installing zippers. And this was a zipper that I had to cut apart and make myself because I couldn't find one that was long enough that I didn't want to pay $40 for one zipper. So I had one of
Right.
those make your own zipper kits that just didn't have the top and the bottom stopper pieces. That was fun. It ended up being very easy and it worked very well for this. And I had a new method of installing it that I will probably make a tutorial for later in the future so people can lovingly abuse it because it made my zipper life so much easier. And I'm totally going to keep doing it for every other cosplay I ever make now, forever and ever and ever. So I'll be happy to share that. But yeah, the dress of Doom is done. I've dubbed it as a project where the lesson was self-restraint because I didn't throw like the entire kitchen sink at it. I was really trying to be careful about, okay, don't put a whole lot of spots on this. You don't need to put 5,000 jewels. It doesn't need to have every square inch full of applique and embroidery. Like, keep it as simple as possible, but you can still get your point across.
Sometimes you can actually make a bigger statement when you're subtle
Yes.
than having it be literal, like sheet of sequins everywhere, like you'd see at a stage performance.
And for me, and this is something a friend of mine pointed out too, is that the focal point of the garment is at the belt, because that's where I have the most amount of embellishments and embroidery, and then everything else just kind of trickles away. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense, especially with where the way the garment sits on me. I kind of want that to be the focal point. That makes a whole lot of sense. So I was like, yeah, that works for me. And it has pockets, yay! Because of course it has pockets. It has pockets in the shape of leaves, and I never want to make them again because that was an awful, traumatic experience. But it's got pockets that are functional, and that's what matters.
Inseam pockets can be very easy or very difficult depending on how it's done.
I made the lovely and wonderful and possibly stupid mistake. I haven't quite decided which is which yet. That. When I designed this pattern, because this was one of the patterns where I used one of those make your own pattern websites, they gave you the pocket options. I saw the one that said it was a leaf pattern. And I was like, this is cool. This would be perfect for my costume. And so I did that. And I was like, wow, this is needlessly complicated. Why did I pick this? I have learned my lesson.
The easier ones are generally U-shaped. And then basically you take the U and you cut the top off at a diagonal since it's inseam so that it goes the direction your hands do at a diagonal instead of straight down. Those are the easiest ones. So if you guys ever sew garments and you want to add pockets after the fact, if they don't already exist, because patterns will usually take care of that, I recommend doing like the U shape.
So much easier. But this one actually sits on top of the garment. It doesn't go into it, so you can actually clearly see the leaves.
Got it. Okay, that's
Yeah.
different.
It was very challenging, and it made it even worse was because this is something that had to be seen. I had to be very delicate and particular about the stitching, so that way it was nice and clean all the way through. And I was like, man, why did I pick this? Oh yeah, because it was a petal pocket, and I thought that would look cute with the design. It looks cute. I ain't doing it again.
But you learned something in the process.
I did. That's the thing I enjoy with each one of my costumes is I try to do something different or learn something new. So I can keep adding it and building up to my repertoire, even if I never use it again. I have learned the thing, and now I know never to use it again. The whole thing, for some unknown reason, I lined the whole dumb thing. I didn't need to, but it's completely lined. And it's the best lining job I have ever done. I'm very happy with it. But no one's gonna see it.
It looks nicer that way, and it also probably adds a bit of a subtle drape to the fabric because of the extra weight.
It's hard to
Just
really
a
say.
little.
It's hard to say for certain. I think if I didn't wear the petticoat, I probably could tell a little bit better. But because there's a petticoat
Right.
with it,
Yeah.
you can't tell the dang difference. It's the same stupid thing. Yeah. And I was like, I'm gonna line this whole stinking thing. And boy, did I line the whole stinking thing, top and bottom. I made the garment twice. But I'm happy with it. That part is done. Next stage is the wigs, which, according to my tracking, they shall be arriving tomorrow. We'll see what madness comes out of that situation, but I'm looking forward to it. Good time. So yeah, I've been doing some things. Yay. Still don't know when I'm gonna wear this, but yay. It's been fun sewing again, that's for sure. Getting that little bit of spark. But that's all I have for my cosplay updates. Woo.
Alrighty. What con will we be able to wear our cosplay to? I guess that's still TBA
Yeah,
to be announced, to be determined.
TBA, TBD.
Whenever it's safe for us to go to conventions again.
This one might be
I
a
missed it so
while.
bad. I miss it so bad, you guys.
I do and I don't.
I miss being able to dress up, see my friends, interact with other fans, and experience the ambiance of Asian culture. And I obviously I'm excluding things like crowds, poor hygiene, and all of the negatives that come with conventions. I'm thinking only of the good. It's my wishful thinking since we haven't been able to do it in 2 years. It'll be when we go back to conventions, it'll be like it's my first convention all over again, I think. Which will be hilariously bad if I remember my first convention.
My first non-cosplay one, I had a blast at it, but it was only like half a day at a con, so it was still when it was still a baby. It was still like tiny before it had to move around 5,000 times. It was still manageable.
True. Those were the days back when it was at the Sheraton.
So simple. And it's really funny because I've been watching a lot of documentaries lately just because they've been interesting and it's good background noise while I work. And anytime I now see like certain carpet, I'm like, that's the Sheraton carpet. That's the Sheraton carpet. Like you can see these people walking through hotels. I'm like, that's the Sheraton. Man, a lot of people went to the Sheraton.
I was waiting during pandemic because I saw people doing all sorts of, custom masks with custom fabrics and geeky fabric and basically making statement fabric. Why did nobody get the Sheraton fabric or the various hotel fabrics and make masks out of those
They
so
did
that
for the
you could
Marriott
tell people
carpet.
what cons you've been to?
The Dragon Con Marriott old carpet, that's got a series of
Right.
masks out. I know that for sure.
Nice. Well, yes, but I want each different con's carpet to come and make a comeback so that you can, gotta catch them all so you can advertise the cons you've been to. It's like having the lanyard with all the badges on it.
Or
You
the
can have all the
ribbons.
masks. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then you can all geek out because you'll be able to see, like, oh, I recognize that carpet pattern.
Someone else can do that. Not me. Not it.
Don't make it out of the actual carpet, guys.
No,
Please
none of
don't ever
that.
make masks out of carpet.
You can make the prints and you can go through like spoon flower or fabric on
Right.
demand. Like, you know. Most of those carpets don't
Which
exist anyway, so.
I was looking at fabrics on Amazon to try and make something for Lunar New Year, which incidentally, a happy Lunar New Year to those who celebrate. And I saw spoonflower fabric there being offered. And I have never ordered fabric through Spoonflower and did not know how expensive it is.
It's because of the custom print.
Wow. Yeah. Some of those fabrics were quite a bit more than I had thought they would be
Yeah, the
per
lowest
yard.
per yard, I think the lowest one is like 21, 22,
22.
and it's their standard cotton. But I've used a
Yes.
bunch of their stuff before and I do like it, and it's because of the print quality. The print quality is supreme. It's worth that little bit of extra.
I was also surprised that since they offer multiple different types of fabrics with those orders, so you don't have to get cotton, you can also get like denim and satin, sateen, velvet, silk. Also, they have all sorts of other offerings for that same print. You get a larger swatch per yard with satin, sateen, silk, and velvet than you do with cotton or denim, which surprised me because normally when I go to purchase fabrics, the cotton is usually a wider, larger swatch. It's like, well, I could actually get more for my money if I got the nicer fabric.
A lot of it has to do with the way that they do their print job and how they set up the prints. It's a lot more accurate with the cotton. It's a little bit off and slightly different with some of the other fabrics because of the type of material that it is. So usually they give you a larger swatch so you can actually compare. What they also have to do sometimes, depending on the design, is they have to expand and upsize the design on those other fabrics that you wouldn't have to do on like the cottons or the silks. So they have to kind of accommodate for that pattern.
That makes sense.
It's fun printing stuff.
I ended up not choosing it just because the amount that I would have needed was prohibitively expensive. Even just to make a simple dress, I still would have needed 3 yards, and
It's
that
a
would be
little
cutting it
much.
close. Especially since typically you want to get extra fabric in case you mess up. Especially if you have to worry about direction, and this fabric was directional. So it all has to face the same direction in all the pieces. I was like, I don't really want to pay nearly $100 just in fabric. And even with that $100, there's not enough there if I mess up.
I like how Amber's like, I'm not going to spend $100. And here my brain is like, I'm working on new drapes and new curtains and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, $100. That sounds about right. Let's do it. I'm making them myself.
You know, one of my favorite places to visit in Joann's is the remnants bin. Speaking of weirdo fabrics,
Oh, yes. I love the
if you
remnants
guys
bin.
haven't ever gone to the remnant bin in any fabric store, it doesn't have to be Joann's, it could be any fabric store. All of them have remnant bins.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you get cuts off of a bolt of fabric, if there is a small amount of excess that's less than 1 yard, or if you have pieces that are kind of stuck in the bolt, say if somebody ordered, a certain amount of fabric and then they decided they didn't want it, or they didn't want as much as was cut, then the excess goes into the remnant bin. And the store will usually discount it. Depending on the store, it might be a decent discount or maybe not so much.
Sometimes the
It also
quote unquote discount is, well, you're not paying the full price for the full yard. They just kind of go like, you're at three quarters of a yard, so it's
So three
technically,
quarters of the price
yeah.
per yard. It's like that's not a discount.
That's not what the remnant bid's for. Don't do that.
I think the average discount I normally see is like 25%.
Yeah, I usually see 25 to 30% on it. On the rare occasion, you will see it upwards to 50% if it's like out of season fabrics, and that's nice. That's the best time.
And for those sorts of cuts, it's very, very rare that you'll find more than a yard
Yeah.
at a time, unless it's a cut somebody didn't want, in which case they'll just sell you the whole cut. But generally, it's a yard or less for remnants. And they're really nice to look through. I actually found chainmail fabric once that's
Neat.
woven chain. It looks like something you'd find out of a Lord of the Rings movie. I haven't used it yet because I haven't been able to figure out how to engineer a chainmail shirt. That's not a full shirt, but it would be like the equivalent of a dickie with the chainmail so you can see it through the collar and then the sleeves and then the hem, and that's it. And the middle is gonna have to probably be some sort of fabric
Yeah, it would have to
because
be.
there's not enough fabric there because it's a remnant to make a full shirt, which is the problem with remnants. There's never enough to make a full garment. But the point I wanted to make is that you shouldn't be afraid to pull remnants. Even though there's not enough to make a garment, you can always make a vest with them. You can make a scarf. You can make a bandana with them. You can even piece it to where the front is the patterned fabric that you pull out of the remnant bin, and then the back is a solid color that coordinates with it. In fact, I've done that on a couple of different garments. So you can still use the fabric that you find in the remnants bin, and sometimes they have some really cool stuff. For a decent price, if you're lucky. But you can totally make all sorts of nifty things out of them. That's one of my favorite places to go as soon as I go into Joann's, if I'm not looking for a specific pattern. If I'm looking for a specific pattern, I go there first so that they don't sell out before I get there.
I've definitely have used the remnant bin a number of times to get fabric for bias tape because I have found some really fun, like gold and silver fabrics, even in pleather, where I've been able to make it into bias tape. I
Ooh.
know. And I was like, man, this stuff at 30% off, and I really only need X amount. So, hey, this looks great. Yay. So that's been fun. I have done one of my costumes where it was completely made out of remnant fabric, and that worked out fantastically. I think the grand total budget I spent on the costume was like $45, and most of that went towards the wig. We figured between the wig and the shoes, like everything else was just remnant fabric, and that was a fun little project. But it also helps me with finding things where it's like, ooh, I need more of this, and I had to figure out who the vendor was. So this happened over Christmas. I found this really funny spandex print of velociraptors with snowflakes, and I
Because
need,
of course you did.
of course I did, and it was only half a yard, and I was like, no, I need more of this. I need at least a full yard because I got to make these into some leggings or something silly. And thankfully, the one place that I went to, it wasn't a chain store, it was just one of those local stores of ours, had the location of where they got the fabric from. So I was able to get it directly, and I got my 1 yard of Velociraptor fabric.
You know, you can
It's
always
amazing.
use. You can always use remnants for patterning too.
Yep, I do that a lot too, because I mean, people think that you can just get like these wide bolts of cloth to do what you need. Like, man, if you all
We
have any
used
idea,
to.
I mean, you can still do it, but like, I don't think people realize like how often I reuse my scraps of muslin. Like, if I have a piece that's like, yay big as my screen, like I will stitch them together and then throw them on the dress form and then use that to pattern. Just flip it to the other side. It works just as well. It's how you reuse the material. It's so much easier. It's great for mock-ups too. If you just need something that's really quick and easy, just piece it all together. It's way cheaper.
It used to be that whenever Golden d'Or would have a sale, which is
Aww.
30% off, it's not really a great, it's not a great discount, but it's a decent discount.
If you go to their back
But
room, it was, whoo
you go to
boy.
the back clearance room because they would have all sorts of generally inexpensive or I say costume grade, but it's like inexpensive costume grade fabrics. That you probably wouldn't use in a cosplay if it was going to be a nice cosplay, but man, those cheap fabrics were fan-frickin-tastic for patterning.
Absolutely, they were.
I would always just go and get a bunch of patterns or a bunch of lightly patterned fabric, like with just little dots or little flowers. Not widely patterned because it can be hard to see when you're trying to draw around your pattern piece on those fabrics. So you try and get something as neutral as possible. And I would just get like 5 or 6 yards at a time of each cut. And it's like, okay, patterning fabric. And like you, I reuse all my pieces that are large enough to be decently reused.
Oh yeah.
And I will literally either tape or stitch them together, whichever I need, to make larger pattern pieces if I need to. And I will use them repeatedly until they're too small to really reuse.
Golden Door, may you rest in peace. That district is not the same. It's just not the same. There's still some fabric stores down there though that are pretty good. But man, so sad.
That's another sort of convention ritual that I miss because I would always make that run in the fall when I was prepping for my convention costumes in the spring. I would start patterning in advance. Yeah. Man, it's been a long time.
It really, it's been 2 years. It has been 2 stinking years.
Well,
Literally.
it's been a bit longer than that since I've been to Golden d'Or, since it would have been the fall before that, when I had last gone.
Yeah. And then the tornado happened, and then COVID
So much has happened. And of course, with that, a lot of stores have gone online now. If not entirely, then they've taken a lot of their stock and put it online entirely. So you can't always go into the store anymore to go and, feel the fabric, see how it drapes. Check the washing instructions, see what the color looks like under different types of lighting conditions. Like, you can't actually see and put your hands on what you're purchasing anymore. simply because they keep a very limited stock in the store that you can actually go see, and everything else is online. And you kind of have to trust that what you're seeing on your computer screen is accurate, which I have found is not always the case, much to my chagrin.
Right. It depends on your monitor settings a lot, and everybody has different settings, and everybody changes it and goes into goofy ways. If you have a monitor that's older than at least 8 years, you probably don't have it on correct settings easily.
Plus, I have mine with the nightlight on at all times because it yellows it out so it doesn't fatigue my eyes as fast.
Oh, already you're seeing the colors so differently.
Right. So I actually have to turn the night filter off whenever I'm shopping for something that has to be a certain hue, which I had a hard time purchasing the elf ears that you guys saw me either last episode or episode before last, that when I bought the slide-on elf ears, I had to decide between the natural and the pink tones, and that's really hard to do when you're looking at a monitor,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't have samples in hand in person that I could see. And even people who post reviews and post pictures in their reviews and say, here's the product, here's what it looks like, I saw a bunch of those, but they're pictures on my monitor, which means I can't tell if the color is accurate or not. So I just had to kind of take a wild guess and hope I was right. And I did not feel comfortable doing that.
A lot of fabric stores have gotten much better about having more samples available, a lot of times free samples available. Good enough return policies that you can, if you decide like, oh, this is totally not the right color, like most of the time they'll take it back. And what I think I really appreciate is that the fact that they put a lot of the care instructions on the site now. So I'm just like, oh, thank goodness, because that was always such a pain in the butt going to the store and pulling it off the rack. And it's like, you got a little bit of instruction care. And if you don't remember to take a photo of it on your phone
or write it down
or write it down somehow, like it's going to go out the window. You're not going to remember how to mess with that fabric when you need to wash it or dry clean it. So at least knowing that it's on a website and they give you full detailed rundown care instructions, I'm like, okay, so much easier. I much rather have that than hoping I remember to take a picture. I've been fabric shopping online though for way too many years.
Ages.
So yeah, so I've kind of gotten accustomed to it. And for me, I'm just like, okay, cool, this works. So I mean, it's never really bothered me, but I can understand for some people, if you're not accustomed to certain companies and the way that they have things set up and you're much more of a person that you need to see it before you buy it. Like I totally understand.
I'm definitely that way with Wix. Like it bugs me a bit to order those online if I'm trying to match a very specific color. So if I have
coloring,
if I have a character that has a very specific hue of wig, then I have to sit there with a picture of the character and overlay it on the picture of the wig. And hope that it's a similar color when I get it in real life so that it looks right. Same way if I have fabric, I hold the fabric up to the screen against the picture of the wig to make it, you know, try and look similar. And I choose whatever color is the most similar.
I was doing this with my friends on Sunday while I was trying to figure out which color wig to go with. I pulled out my color ring. Because I have one of Arda's color wings, but it's kind of outdated because some of the colors are no longer available and the numbers have changed around, unfortunately. So when I was chatting with a friend of mine, I was like, hey, do you have any of the new colors or the new color ring? So we just started comparing as we kept looking at our webcams going like, okay, is it this? Is it this? Is it this one?
Color matching party!
Between the two of us, we have all the colors. We just got to figure out which one is which.
You know, I can only see this happening with cosplayers and maybe theatrical costumers having a teleconference call.
Yep.
Sitting here trying to match colors on wig sample ring.
Uh-huh. Hey, I got it figured out. Between the two of us, we had the colors, so that was simple.
There you go.
I didn't have to drop another $30 on a brand new color ring.
Right. Which, hopefully, if things are better by October, which I know is a long ways away. We're actually closer to last October than we are to this coming October. But hopefully, if all is improved by then I think Halloween will make a really big comeback this year. Not that it, didn't have a lot of people going out last year, but I think this year people really want to get out. Big costume parties everywhere.
I have a feeling that it's going to happen regardless.
Preferably with things being better. Some of us want to stay healthy, guys. We're doing
Yes,
our best here.
please.
I can only control what I do, not what anybody else does, so
You can only
please,
control
please.
yourself. You can't control the actions of others.
Right, please keep us in mind and stay safe because you being safe also helps keep us safe.
And everybody else safe too.
Indeed. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode 247 of Cosplot the Podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to join in the conversation and let us know about your favorite escapades in your local fabric shop, maybe let us know what your favorite thing you've ever found in a remnant bin is.
Oh, yes.
Or if you would like to let us know what we should name the Nick Cage themed store that we're going to open at some point, please feel free to let us know on any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
If you're watching us live, you know that everything is down there under by Amber. If you're watching us on video, it's also down there underneath by Amber. If you're listening to us, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook or Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, and on YouTube and Twitter at CosPodcast.
Or, of course, you can email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you'll get an answer from each one of us, possibly with a few Nick Cage memes attached. You never know.
I can confirm the Nick Cage meme responses. I have a folder. Please give me an excuse to use more.
Otherwise, please keep working on those cosplays. Please stay safe out there and stay healthy so that we can see everybody's smiling face at our local convention sooner rather than later. We would love that. Otherwise, we will see you guys next time in episode 248. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.